You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
As we're talking with a group of people, a young gentleman rolls through the middle of the Hall of Fame with a duffel bag from McDonald's.
That's a Hall of Fame move.
You're the real MVP.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. The Leafs are in L.A. tonight taking on the Kings. Luke Robitaille will join us here in a moment. Further north, about 5 hours north, up in the Bay Area, the Golden State Warriors are playing the Atlanta Hawks, a team that they will absolutely destroy, considering right. their loss last night. And they lost to the Clippers, and at the end of the game, at the end of regulation, Draymond Green picked up the ball and went Jackie Moon, went Carlton Banks, hero mode. There was time left on the clock, and he tried to do it all by himself. Teen Wolf. And Kevin Durant wasn't happy about it, got in his face. The two of them went back and forth. I guess it carried over to the locker room after the game. And now it's come out that Draymond Green will not play tonight. They are sitting him tonight. So I don't know if it's technically a suspension. I don't know if it's going to cost him money or what.
You think there was a dust-up in the...
Sounds like something was said, and I would guess Draymond Green crossed the line, whatever that line
Everyone's
was.
Everyone's so sensitive today, you wonder what that means for his future with the team. He could be like, okay, I've had enough.
Here's what I don't think it changes. Who's going to win the NBA title this year? I really don't think people are going to try to develop this into a take that something's going to happen, but we'll get to this a little bit later in the hour. Here is a Hockey Hall of Famer, longtime L.A. King, and the Kings president and alternate governor. Here's Luke Robitaille. How you doing, Luke?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well, and we've been thinking a lot about you guys out there in California. You're on the roads, obviously, with the wildfires. What's that been like? How scary has that scene been like out in L.A.?
It's pretty scary. A lot of times you hear there's fires in California. It's like up in the mountains, and you don't see it quite as much, you know, and this one is close to a lot of friends of my wife and I, a lot of family members, and then a lot of people that work with us also. So it's this is one of those that's hitting it's hitting close to home for everyone. And if you just kind of stand by the beach, it just looks like there's this huge kind of ball of fire that went up. It's pretty scary to see.
Luke, you know, staying on the unfortunate part of some of the things that's going on out there, the massive shooting in Thousand Oaks, and you guys came out the other day, and I saw your speech about enough and what you guys wanted to do to get involved to try and maybe help some of this, maybe shed some light on that.
Yeah, I think I guess in the U.S. we've been hit with a lot of things over the last few years, and this was one of those that, we got in the morning and we had heard about it, and, you know, it was all over the news, and they started showing, I can't remember exactly the timing, but the names and the age of the kids that got hit. You know, I think of the 12 people that passed away, like I think 9 or 10 of them were under 23 years old, you know, and it was kind of devastating. And our staff got together, and they were going about, you know, the moment of silence and what are you going to say and how we're going to handle it. And at some point, you know, it just kind of just hit me, and I said, you know what, it's enough. Like we cannot just do a moment of silence. We have to see if we could do more. And I'm not saying, none of us are saying, you know, we're going to change everything, but, you know, we are like professional teams, and people listen to athletes because they idolize them. And that's why, you know, guys go to charity events, and that's why they donate sticks and jerseys, and you raise money with them. So our idea is, like, let's see if we could deliver a message of more like peace, you know, less violence and so forth. And our staff came up with the word enough, period. And that was really the idea. And we're not going to just, like, our idea was, like, it's kind of become our normal life now, where you have a moment of silence, everybody's touched at the game, and then the next morning you wake up and you just move on, you know. And then 2 weeks later, something else happened, you have another moment of silence, you wake up the next day and you move on. And when it happened, you just can't believe it. Every one of us is watching the news, it's devastating, and then we move on. So I think the idea behind it is like, let's not just move on and wait for the next event. Maybe we can deliver some message. And even if we change one person's mind that was going to have a bad idea or bad thoughts, or because a lot of times there are people that are in trouble that end up doing this. So if we change one person's mind, we don't know whose life we'd save, but I'm pretty sure we'd save a few lives. And that's kind of like the idea. And then, you know, we didn't really talk to the other teams. We talked a little bit to the Clippers. They called us, but a lot of teams are jumping on board.
Yeah, that's a great initiative with Luke Robitaille. Is that something you run through the league? Has the league been involved in this kind of stuff, or is that just simply an L.A. Kings initiative?
Every time we do something, we run it by the league. You know, we had discussion with Bill Daly. We kind of, you know, told him what we were going to do, and he supported us. Yeah, you know, when you're going to do anything like that, that changed a little bit the course of the game or even the opening of a game, you always have to make sure you talk with the league. So we did, yeah.
With Luke Robitaille. And I understand you were at the Hall of Fame last night, and you went in 2009. Have you ever gone back and reviewed your speech? If so, how do you feel about it 10 years later?
No, I haven't gone back and reviewed that. As you know us, most of us hockey players, we don't really live in the past. we're probably not smart enough to just live in the past. We usually like try, you know, when you're playing, you live this moment, and then every once in a while we might be guilty of looking ahead a little bit, but I very rarely look in the past. And no, I haven't gone back and looked at it, but last night was fun. I thought the guys did really good.
Lucas,
you know, and a girl.
Yeah, her speech was
yeah,
great.
She was outstanding.
Jana Hafford had a great speech last night.
She was phenomenal. I was listening to her. I'm like, she's speaking like a real commissioner. She was really good.
Exactly.
Luke, as far as your team out in L.A., it's been tough sledding there, too. Goaltending, injuries, and basically performance. How much are you looking forward to hoping things kind of turn around here?
You know, we started playing better probably about four games ago. And as you know, it's never easy to turn something when you're really struggling. We still expect our best players to be our best players on the ice. I'm not sure it's been like that every night. But we have a much better team than what we've shown, and it was very unfortunate to lose John. Unfortunately, sometimes that's the way the game goes. And now it's up to our guys to get us out of it. And you know, we're expecting them to do it. There's no excuse regarding the goaltending. Jack Campbell has been tremendous. You know, we've always said we had a high expectation on Cal Peterson. Peter Budaj has played well under our system in the past, so we expect a lot of the same from these guys, but we expect more out of our leadership group and our core guys.
The Leafs are in town tonight, and obviously you guys are aware of them. You were in Toronto a couple of weeks ago, and every time the Leafs roll through town, the media shows up, and generally speaking, the Toronto media ends up asking all the Kings players or whoever they're playing how they feel about the Maple Leafs. And I'm sure right. You had to experience that throughout your career. But how do you feel about this Leaf team? There's a lot of hype up here, and I'm sure it's kind of permeating throughout the league, but what have you made of the Leafs early into the season?
Well, for the record, 2 years ago, no one asked how anybody felt about the Leafs, but
yeah.
Now they do.
Good point. Yeah, dead last in the league will do that for you.
You know, they're a fun team to watch. They're a great team. They got so much talent. I think, you know, they've done a tremendous job. They stuck to their plan that, you know, Brandon talked about years ago. I think Kyle's a really smart guy. Lou was great for that franchise. They're a fun team to watch, and you know they got a great coach. They play with a lot of pace, and it's a great like we're certainly looking at it. It's a great challenge for us to play them tonight. I mean, for us, you know, when you're struggling, you're looking at it like, you know, you'd rather beat the best team, you know, to get out of your funk. So for sure, you know, it's a real big game for the Kings, and but they've been a tremendous team to watch. They're definitely in the one of those top team that, you know, every night, you know, they're going to get the best out of every team in the league because, you know, there's, you know, they got a lot of talent out there.
Well, we look forward to it tonight. Enjoy the game, and we always appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you, Luke.
All right. Thanks, guys. Anytime.
There he is. Luke Robitaille, the L.A. Kings president and alternate governor and 09 inductee into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Did not see him there last night.
I saw.
You saw him. Well, yeah. I didn't see him kicking around last night.
Gave him a wave. But I was, as we talked about earlier, I was a pigeon kind of in the background.
We were in pigeon modes because Wayne Gretzky came in.
In the TH set. So we were on off to the side, but I saw Lucky walk through.
Okay. I missed that.
There was a lot of big names in the house. Dougie Gilmore was there.
I saw Dougie walk in.
Really?
He got there around 7 o'clock. I was kind of on my way out. And
that
I saw
must have
Dougie,
been a scene.
The parting of the seas. Because all the guys seeking autographs, there's a buzz out there.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
Whenever one of the Hall of Famers walks in, everyone's kind of like, who is it? Where? How can we get to them or whatever?
So and what's Dougie the line? Where's the line when it comes to Hall of Famers? Are like, nah, you know, like.
Well, I guarantee it wasn't Dougie.
No.
Because it's in Toronto as well, right? Like.
Yeah. I saw Grant Fear. Fears,
yeah,
he walked
him by,
gave us a wave while
gave
we were
you
on
a
it
wave.
I think
know
the line is when the people don't recognize who it is.
Yeah, so it's somebody from 30 years ago, like you're...
Yeah, exactly.
It's tough to...
Yeah. Well, if you guys feel like pigeons, like, think about what I feel like. Whatever's lower than a pigeon on the bird depth chart.
A sparrow.
What is lower than a pigeon on the bird depth chart?
A sparrow.
No, those
sparrow's
are quite...
not bad. What's wrong with a sparrow?
Quite...
A hummingbird.
No, those things can sing, man.
Those are
like,
quality
aren't pigeons
birds.
Kind of like
a
bottom
seagull
feeders?
Is a seagull
crow
worse?
What about a crow?
If this was
just
a fish,
grimy
we would be a
crow.
We were carp. If this was a fish,
right? And I'm
isn't carp bottom feeder?
I'm a sunfish. I'm just a useless piece of garbage fish.
You're a catfish, just
yeah,
a grubby catfish that you can't.
Grubby.
Too veiny. You can't even eat it if you caught it. It just sucks.
You just
got to
smack it in the face and throw it back.
Throw it back in.
Pull his little hairs on the catfish. Pull them out.
Yeah.
So we were carp and you were catfish.
Yeah, I think I was lower than that because, like, you guys know all these guys. You played with them. You played in the league for a long time.
Yeah, but
I'm just the guy who happens to have a headset on. What is lower than a pigeon? Is there a bird that is lower than a pigeon on the bird depth chart?
Like one that just takes a dump everywhere and is just...
That is
like
pigeons,
I think
isn't
a pigeon...
Is a seagull a worse, though?
Oh, seagull.
Seagulls are close.
Yeah.
Seagulls are annoying.
I always felt like seagulls...
They're associated with garbage, I think, more than pigeons.
Yes. Like, they're... Yeah, I think
a you're
seagull...
a crow, like just a grubby black crow.
No, crows have like a...
Crows got some respect, man.
A mystique about them. They're always hanging around death.
There's an element of respect.
No, crows don't do anything. They just cause problems, and they're scary.
Yeah, but they're hanging... Exactly, but that's not us. Like, we're talking like a dirty, gross bird. That's what we are.
You're a pigeon.
Yeah, a pigeon.
You guys are pigeons. I'm below that.
He's a seagull.
We gotta find out what it is.
I'm like a pigeon who's like got a dark side, has had like a really been through a rough time.
Just a greasy, grimy pigeon.
I just punched in bird depth chart. I wonder if anything will come up.
I'll bet you someone's written something. Someone's got like a PhD in this.
Yeah, exactly. Like guaranteed one of our listeners will know the difference in like low-end birds.
Yes. And hook us up if you can, because that is me. So anyway, more coming out here on what's going on with this Warriors, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant beef. I just saw this posted online. Green will not play tonight. Again, Atlanta's in town. It doesn't matter because they're going to smoke Atlanta. But
hang on a sec. Is it back-to-back home games for them?
Yeah. They played the Clippers at home last night.
It
and
could
now
be just
home
resting him.
No.
No, because it came out that Green called Durant the B word, like, over and over and over again.
Okay.
So he was like, you're a blah, 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 and he just kept going at him and going at him. And I guess it got to a point where someone, it must have been Steve Kerr, said, all right, that's enough. Like,
right. You're
acting way too over the top and way, way too erratic, and they feel like they have to penalize Green. But, you know, Kevin Durant's a free agent at the end of the year. I guess maybe there's a connection to that they're going to want to keep Durant and they want to make sure he's comfortable, but Durant's going to do what he's going to do anyway. I don't think it's going to change how Durant feels about Golden State because of an altercation with Draymond Green in November.
And no, Draymond Green's got to know better. You want to go to war with one of the players, you're never going to win against Kevin Durant. Two-time
MVP
in the finals. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry, bud.
Steph
you're not
Curry
win
and
it.
Kevin Durant, right? Those
yeah,
are the two guys.
Don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Green's the
you
layer below.
You could probably throw Klay Thompson in there, too.
Yeah, probably. Klay's more respected. Like Draymond's, you know, he pops off all the time, and he's always in fights with people. But yeah. It's always guys on the other team.
He's he's the seagull of that team.
Wasn't he fighting with a Hollywood star the other day? The meme out there about the anthem.
Fergie.
Well,
Fergie's.
Josh Duhamel. Yeah, is that his name?
That he was
Fergie's ex.
Oh, really? Fergie, the singer?
The singer, when she
started butchering the anthem.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, and
last year was brutal.
He had the, like, the eye roll and the smile, and then that became a meme. And then, I think his name's Josh Duhamel.
Duhamel.
I'm butchering his name.
He was like, that guy pissed me off.
Yeah, that guy pissed me off.
Duhamel's a pigeon, too.
No, like, he's the real deal as far as work.
Darren tweeting in, saying, on the fish scale, Hayes is a sculpin.
What's a sculpin?
What's a sculpin? And that's fish, man. We're looking for birds. I don't care about fish.
Somebody wrote in, a dodo bird.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's very funny. LGA wrote that in. Anyway. A dodo bird is lower.
Speaking of celebs dealing with athletes, do you see the moves that Jared Goff is pulling online right now?
With Halle Berry?
Yeah, he's...
He has a play that he calls out. It's called, Halle Berry, Halle Berry, hot!
Shooter's got to shoot, man.
He wrote and said, hang on a sec here, Goff. What is the Halle Berry play? And he wrote back and said, it's my favorite play ever.
That is pretty.
So where does that go for Goff will be interesting, but he is going to shoot his shot.
Well, and you have to.
Might as well.
And when you talk about Hall of Fame, like Halle Berry has her own wing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah, just rent the movie Monsters Ball. Enjoy.
So someone wrote a piece for GQ. These are the 9 lamest birds in the world.
Yeah, I see. The number one is...
We'll talk
the number
to Bobby, too, after the break. He knows some birds that are just the lowest of the low.
Well, he probably has to shoo them off of his deck at the cabin.
The pigeon isn't in here, though. Like,
well, I think the pigeon and the seagull are probably the same.
Yeah, the seagull's number one. The goose is number two. The thrush is number 3. I could have been a thrush at the Hall of Fame.
I think you're more of a goose. You hang around and you dump everywhere on the ground and
What are the ones with the long necks that walk around here all the time?
Those are geese.
Canada geese or whatever. They get a little nasty sometimes.
Hayes is a buzzard. Yeah, those are annoying.
Yeah, you just feed on carcasses and
a buzzard.
Anyway. All right, Bob McKenzie in studio next. All right, Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider in studio. Bobby, you're not a pigeon at the Hall of Fame. You're on the...
He's on the board.
You're on the board, and you're in there. You've been honored by the Hall of Fame.
Man.
Because we obviously did the show down there yesterday, and these two are kind of pigeons, but they play in the league, so everybody knows them.
They're not pigeons.
But I'm, like, below a pigeon, because nobody knows me. I didn't play in the league.
Pigeon's such a good word, so... Yeah.
Floater. We were floater central or pigeons.
I think below it is a goose.
No.
Can you think of a bird that's below pigeon on the depth chart?
Well, if you're at my cottage on any given day, it would be a goose. And the funny thing about Canadian geese is they're so symbolic. Like, when you see a video of a goose taking off from the lake and flying, it's this majestic Canadian thing. And there's, you know, when they first opened the Eaton Centre, the trademark of the Eaton Centre in downtown Toronto was they had an architect put up all these Canadian geese hanging from the glass ceiling of the Eaton Center, and it was, everybody went down just to see that.
Symbolic.
Yeah, and then when you've got like 30 of them on your front lawn and and you see what they leave behind, they will literally destroy, you know. So you try to coexist peacefully with the natural habitat. It's their property as much as yours, but
you don't go out with the broom. You got to shoo them away.
I mean, and quite frankly, I'm at the cottage a lot, so it's my neighbor who's not there as much, and they love going up on his place. And then if they're on his place, they come over. So I've kind of got a thing for geese, and not a good thing.
No. Have you ever been on a golf course and they start chasing you around?
Aren't they like, are they a little bit?
They're aggressive.
Like, oh, yeah, they're aggressive.
They're aggressive.
We got them here in the parking lot.
I know. I was walking
They were living
over.
In my parking spot there for a while. I wasn't in it. Now Gord Miller's in there more than the geese. But
I like bring it back to Kelly Chase always, but I was walking from one building to the other, and there was one that was kind of like on the edge of the curb, and it was coming towards us, and Chaser, like, yelled at it, like, and it came after Chaser, and he was like, get out of here, you dope, and he was fighting with this, whatever, goose.
He's from Saskatchewan, this and, is yeah, right up his alley.
Exactly.
Let's but, fight a goose.
But it was, he was rattled by it. I didn't even realize. He just walked by it. But the thing was,
they say you're getting goosed.
He was he was agitated.
Oh, they'll chase you on a golf course, man. You put one by the water, and they're there, and they're not in a mood. Just you're leaving it.
Yeah, and that's the low end then.
Yeah. All right, Leafs are out in L.A., and Matthews is on the roadie. And obviously that, I would guess he probably said, can I come to California? And Babcock was like, yeah, we can allow you to come to California. But we were talking about this earlier, Bob, with Nylander, and we all know that the Leafs would prefer to sign him, and I know you've been saying that throughout the whole process, and that's still the plan. But if it gets to a point where they trade Nylander, how do you think Matthews reacts to it if the agreement was Marner plays with Tavares, and that means Nylander plays with Matthews? And if Nylander isn't here anymore, then how does Matthews react to that?
Yeah, you know what, I mean,
does that factor in, though? Would Dubas have to think about that?
Well,
I would think so.
Yes and no. I mean, it depends what you know, that's such a, I'll be towards you, it's such a hypothetical, I'm not even going to answer that question. But no, it would depend on what you're getting back. Are you getting back a defenseman? Are you getting back another forward? Are you getting back both? You know, where does everybody fit in? Is he cool with Kapanen over there as opposed to Nylander? So there's a lot of different factors. And at the end of the day, I mean, players play and coaches coach and managers manage. And it's a shared responsibility. If they get to the point where you know, they can't get William Nylander signed and they feel they have to trade him, I suppose there'll be lots of players on the Leafs that might look at management and say, oh, man, you can't believe you're doing that. And if I was management, I'd go back to them and say, well, yeah, I could have signed them for like $7.5 or $8 million a year, and I'm firing one of you guys out the door.
Right.
Yeah.
So pick your poison. You know, it's only so many, you know, you only put 10 pounds of fertilizer in a 10-pound bag in the salary cap era.
Well, we were talking over the last couple of days, even last week, about, you know, a situation where if you do sign Nylander, fine, it works out. But if you don't, like, at what point in the negotiations, what level of pressure point are we at right now? Like, it doesn't surprise me.
The biggest
me, like,
week in the negotiations.
But he no, says that all the time. But you know, Shanny came out and kind of opened the door a little bit, saying, you know, we asked in Detroit, we wanted, you know, we wanted guys to fall in. And then it's been dead silent after that. And then now all of a sudden it I don't know how it's been released or whatever. You're hearing rumblings like, oh, the Leafs would listen to packages, sure, or whatever. So is that...
They've got to do two things at the same time, very simply.
Right.
There's a sign Nylander track.
Right.
And they'll work... That's their priority. They want to sign him. So I'm sure every day they can, they're talking to Lewis Gross and they're trying to get a deal done. At the same time that's happening, there's a trade Nylander track, because we're now down to the, you know, we're getting close to the December 1st deadline. It's 5 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday, December 1st. That's when he's got to be signed by, and whether it's with the Leafs or somebody else. So they can't get to, like, December 30th or the morning of December 1st and say, man, we can't get him signed. Maybe we should try and trade him now. You got to do all your trade homework now. And right, that's what they're doing. That's why Kyle Lewis is talking to teams and what have you. So it's really complicated, though. And it's a complicated trade to make because of the finances.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of teams
that want to pay him, too.
They don't. Yeah, most of the teams that want William Nylander are like, yeah, we want him. We love him. We're not going to give him any more than Toronto's offering.
Right, exactly.
Now, there are other teams that might say, yeah, we'll give him more than Toronto's offering. I'll give him 7. I'll give him 7.5. And Dubas is looking at their lineup and going, yeah, I don't see a defenseman or a winger there that we want to come back. And I do not believe for a moment in a trade that Kyle Dubas is going to take, oh, I'll take a third line this and a number 5D here and a pick. He, you know, he believes this player's a core young piece coming out of entry level. He's virtually in his prime or getting there. So they don't want to take an 18 or a 19-year-old because that's not going to help him now. And they don't want to take a 27 or a 28-year-old and whose window might close before the overall group fully matures in another 2 or 3 years. So it's a really hard trade to make.
Bob McKenzie in studio. Speaking of complications, the Tom Wilson suspension. First of all, I had forgotten it happened during the preseason.
Yeah.
Like, it's been so long, but it was September 30th, I believe. They have played 16 games. He was originally suspended for 20.
Yep.
Then it went to Bettman. Bettman upheld the 20. Then it went to an outside arbitrator. The arbitrator said, actually, 14 games. They're about to play their 17th tonight.
Yep.
So he can play. I don't know if he's going.
The lineup.
Is he going?
Yeah.
He's in mini?
He's in the lineup.
Yeah.
But
he lost two games.
That's so strange, though.
That's just the way it goes. Arbitration being what it is, it takes time for the process to work through. So, you appeal. You got so many days to appeal. Bettman's got so many days to hear the appeal. Bettman's got so many days to give a decision on the appeal. Now, Wilson's got so many days to take that and go to the independent arbitrator. The independent arbitrator's got to have a session, and it takes him. And if you saw the ruling and all the evidence and the video and the mounds and mounds and mounds, I don't think people understand the rule of law and how detailed it gets. And so finally, a little less than, took them a day less than 2 weeks, 13 days, 13, 14 days for the independent arbitrator to rule. And by the time he rules, Washington's played 16. Wilson's only suspended for 14, so it's a financial benefit. He saves $378,000 that he otherwise would have been given to the Players Assistance Fund.
So would it be the same timeline, though, if he was appealing a five-game suspension?
Yeah.
So is that so?
Basically,
that's where I would think the PA would be like, we got to change this.
Well, it wouldn't be five. You can't take
an
appeal.
Game.
Six, yeah. And it's got to be six or more to go to the independent.
So let's say it's six. Like, how many guys do you think over history would be like, I would like to appeal this, but there's no point. By the time it gets done.
But you do it for the financial reasons.
Yeah, you get the.
And also just to try and, whatever, have less of a rap sheet.
In reading that, too, the independent arbitrator felt that Parros did the three times, and he brought
playoffs.
It back to two.
Yeah, that might be the biggest takeaway in some respects.
That's what
aside from the fact, the notable trend here is Dennis Weidman got 20 games for abuse of an official.
Yeah.
Went to the independent arbitrator. His name was James Oldham. And it got reduced to 10. So that was, I think, the first time for an on-ice incident in this CBA that the independent arbitrator was used, and the ruling went from 20 to 10. Then you had an off-ice incident, same arbitrator as ruled on this Tom Wilson one, and the Austin Watson domestic misdemeanor
dispute,
assault,
domestic
assault charge that resulted in a 27 game suspension.
Yeah.
And it was reduced by the arbitrator to, forget what number.
21. Like it was,
21, I want to say. Something like that. Anyways, so again, a little different because it wasn't on ice. It was off ice. Nevertheless, the independent arbitrator reduced that. And now you get Tom Wilson for an on-ice incident, and it goes from 20 down to 14. So that there's a trend developing in this new CBA where the independent arbitrator is reducing the NHL suspensions. That's number one. And number two, to your point, George Parros was using a factor of saying, well, he got four games in the
Preseason. It wasn't that far.
Got a playoff suspension of X number of games. Parros goes, those are worth three times regular season.
Right.
And then the math from the independent arbitrator was, I'm looking at what you did with Patrick Coletta once upon a time, and there's no precedent for doing three times, so it's two times.
So right now,
officially, until we hear otherwise from somebody, a suspension in the playoffs should be half as much as it is in the regular season and vice versa.
Yeah.
Okay.
What we get you two games in the playoffs should get you four games in the regular season, and what we get you four games in the regular season should get you two games in the playoffs.
Okay. We'll take that.
And Watson got 18 games, 27-18.
Bob McKenzie in studio. Let's get to this Carey Price stuff. We got into this in the previous hour. So he didn't play on Saturday night. They played Niemi against Vegas. And now he's not playing tonight.
Yep.
And Noodles, I guess, did they go public with this? Is this kind of just being acknowledged that they're giving him time off? Or has it gone public that they're giving him time off?
Yeah, I got to be careful. Anyway,
he's not playing tonight. You would expect a guy who's the legit starter making $10.5 million a year would be playing. This seems like big news to me. What do you make of this
Well,
story?
they've done it before. There were times last year where they did this. They felt like we need to give this guy some time off to get his focus back or work on the technical things with Stefan Waite. And here they are again. Nobody would have imagined that to be the case. So the Montreal Canadiens like what they've been getting from Niemi. They haven't loved what they've been getting from Price. So it's obviously a problem if it's long-term. But if it's a blip on the radar and Carey comes back strong at some point, then everybody forgets about it. And it's interesting. Same thing's happening on the other side.
That's what we were talking about. Yeah. It's actually...
Talbot's out, Koskinen's in. But that's what Edmonton got Koskinen for. They're paying him over $2 million
but
change
that's
on a one-way
thing,
deal with a no-move clause.
Yeah.
So if Talbot's struggling and you want him to be pushed in a competitive environment, then play Koskinen and see what he does. And same thing, there's never a goalie controversy as long as you got one that's stopping the puck.
True, but if there's a guy making $10.5 million on an eight-year deal that just kicked in a
absolutely.
Month and a half ago.
And over time, but in the short term, there's never a goalie controversy as long as you got one guy going.
Well, that's right. If this is Thursday now, like that's what we're saying. If Niemi goes out and stands on his head tonight and they decide to go back to him Thursday and then he plays well, and like now you start to look at it and go, man, this
or
is.
Or even if Price is a gas can on Thursday.
Well, exactly. Thinking, actually, that's the other way.
But that's that's part of the reason why he's not playing, is that what they're saying is, you know what, let's just back things down. Let's lower the temperature. Let's get Carey reconstruct his game a little bit. Let's give him some time with the goalie coach. Let him clear his mind.
Yeah.
You know, he might not be in the right frame of mind to get into the net. And if he lets in the first three shots on the three goals on six shots or whatever, now you've got a bigger problem than Niemi coming in and maybe playing well enough to win you a hockey game and give him Price the time he needs.
Well, I guess that is when it gets nerve-wracking, because he's going back in. I would personally think, even if Niemi plays well tonight, he's Carey Price.
Yeah.
You got to play him. He's your guy.
I think, and I can actually backtrack to our chat last. You're right, because it's a superstar. Like it's just like it's front and center. You're like,
right.
This guy makes $10.5 million, and he's won the Hart, and he's done all that, but he's just not playing well. So I think what they're looking at is saying, hey, we're a team that's playing well. If you thought about it at the start of the year. Let's even go back a little farther. The only reason the Montreal Canadiens were going to at least tread water this year was we thought Carey Price. That actually hasn't
been
the case.
Being the opposite. Canadiens have been great. Price hasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of what they're probably saying is like, we're winning. I think we talked about this the other day, Brian, just you and I. I looked at Price's goals. Like, they may have had a couple more wins if he... He hadn't been struggling, which is kind of weird to say, but you know, it's a reset. It is, I think, a bigger story more in Montreal. Obviously, you're looking at it, but they're winning, so they're kind of like, all right, let's keep it going, type of thing. So, I don't know.
There's different variables in play.
Right.
I mean, because of the year he had it last year, where there were times where he wasn't playing and people were wondering what was going on.
Yeah,
and now this year we're a month into the season and he's getting two starts off. It's like, what is going on here? You know, understandably so. People on the outside are going to wonder what's going on.
Yeah.
Hey, want to go back to Nylander for one quick second? I got some interesting numbers. Remember we talked before about how when you don't sign at the beginning of the year, you sign partway through the year, it gets a little funky with the cap hits.
Yeah, the cap hit, yeah.
I got our friend Dominic at Cap Friendly to run some numbers for us today.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. Let's assume for a moment the Leafs did a six-year deal. $7 million a year. $7 million AAV would normally be the thing. So let's assume that's the case. If you signed him today, this year's cap hit would be $8.7 million. All the remaining years would be $6.7 million. So less than the seven.
Yeah.
So the Leafs love that. And if you did it on November 30th, the day before the deadline, the cap hit this year would be $9.6 million.
Which they have.
They can afford.
Which the Leafs can do. And then it would be $6.6 million years 2 through 6. Okay,
let me guess, they're waiting until November 30th.
You know what? At this point, you might as well.
Yeah, you might as well.
Might as well, if you think you can get it done now. If you did a 3-year deal at $5 million, sign them today, the cap hit for this year would be $5.9 million. Years 2 and 3 would be $4.6 million. If you do it on November 30th, the cap hit would be $6.6 million, so way above the $5 million AAV that he would have. And it would drop to $4.5 million. So the reason I brought these numbers up is because this works perfectly for the Leafs. It's not part of their strategy, but it could become that now because they've gone this far. But it works perfectly for the Leafs. But all the trade talk we've talked about, there's a lot of teams that like Nylander. They can't take a $9.6 million cap hit.
This year. Right.
At all.
Yeah. They just don't have that kind of room.
Yeah. And they might be prepared to, they maybe could squeeze them in at seven.
I see. So the contract, it would apply to them too.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, I'm signing for 7 years, $7 million.
I'm signing 6 years, $7 million a year.
Yeah.
Right.
And the way the calculation for any team that puts them in their lineup and signs
them. Hold on, it costs us
on November 30th, a $7 million a year deal for William Nylander will cost the team that puts them in the lineup 9.6 against the cap.
Wow.
That first year.
Yeah.
So it makes it even harder to trade William Nylander between now and the end of the month.
That's interesting.
And you're right. What they would have to do is somebody would have to come back that would clear that up financially. You know what I mean? Trading for William Nylander, and you're going to be trading for a live player that's going to
with help 1 year on their deal. That's what you would think. The Leafs would be like, we're not taking anything beyond that.
But they may have to take something else.
Yeah, that's complicated.
To make
it
work if it's going to go to organization X. But you're right. I think this goes down to the wire now. If
you've gone this far, he's not going to California by now. He's not playing this week.
I still wholeheartedly believe they're going to get it done.
Well,
but it makes more sense 2 weeks from now if you're going to save a couple hundred on the cap moving forward, because all that does is works a little bit better when you go to sign Mitch Marner.
Absolutely. It frees up some money that every penny counts, and it's going to count. But quickly, Bob, in terms of past history, a lot of these comparables have been used recently with Kyle Turris, who waited a long time, and then finally they said, all right, we'll sign you 2 weeks later, you're out of here.
Yeah.
P.K. Subban, Ryan O'Reilly, there's a long list of them. Do you believe that would apply with Nylander?
No.
You think it's a different case?
No, I think if they get him signed, and obviously if it's a long, I think the plan is they sign him, he'll be in the lineup.
Yeah, and he's here long-term.
Hey, listen, you never say never because you run into cap problems, you change your mind 6 months or a year from now. But I don't believe the idea is let's get him signed so we can trade him.
Right.
They can trade him and let somebody else sign him.
Well, we'll see. All right, Bob.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for popping in. There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN hockey insider. Thankfully, his last name is not Turris, because that name has been really causing
you
problems.
You've just been fighting
a lot
that
of,
one.
Broadcasters have one name.
Yeah. That's mine.
That they can't do.
Kryptonite.
Kyle Turbis.
I've said it four times over the past 2 days.
We got to stop talking about him because
never
we haven't even mentioned him in a year.
No, he wins the Hart this year. It just didn't happen. Dying. It never gets mentioned. Overdrive has a pair of tickets for the Leafs taking on the Bruins November 26th. And every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, if you call in and name that Leaf, you will have a pair of tickets to see the Leafs take on the Bruins. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf was an eighth-round pick, drafted 207th overall.
Brendan Leipzig.
It's a giveaway that it's not a recent player, I guess. But this Maple Leaf was an eighth-round pick.
Dude,
I'm going to get out of here.
What is this?
You're just, you know what? You're gliding to the finish line. You've been so strong today.
Just end the show. Can we end the show now?
No, we've got to come back. I have a couple more takes on Kyle Turris.
Yes.
No, you
the
don't.
Eighth round, Draymond Green, the Warriors, the Leafs in action tonight. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Peter tweeting and saying the name Kyle Turris is to Brian Hayes what a free throw shot is to Markel Fultz. Did you see his attempt at a free throw last night?
Dude,
he's got the yips.
Is that basketball yips?
It was crazy. Find it.
I've never seen it before. I've read pieces on it and, why'd they pick this guy, blah, blah, blah. But I was having dinner at my favorite spot in Vaughn, Grazzi. And NBA does this thing where they kind of do like NHL Network where they float around from game to game. And this guy, I saw it and I'm like, oh my God. It was a horror show.
It's Charles Barkley trying to swing a golf club. That's the equivalent of this guy trying to shoot a free throw. He went first overall. Brian Colangelo, think about his legacy in Philly. He took Markel Fultz over Jason Tatum. Tatum went third. Lonzo Ball, who we goof on, is obviously a better player. He went two. to say nothing of Donovan Mitchell and others, who were never going to be in first overall contention, but still, Tatum was. Tatum, you could see, being a first overall pick. He took Fultz, this guy can't shoot, and his wife set up burner accounts to just sewer his whole career.
But I guess my question is, they would have scouted him. They would have seen this and said, okay, we can get this out of his game.
Or to be fair, he didn't have the yips when he was in college. He played in Washington, and he was a stud. He was a first overall pick. And when he got to Philly, he just forgot how to shoot.
He's clanking it off.
It's brutal.
I'm watching it right now.
Yeah,
Ricky Vaughn.
It is. Get that guy a pair of shades. That's what he needs. A pair of glasses.
And a bucket of chicken. He'll get rid of it.
He'll learn how to hit a curveball.
Isn't that what was the Serrano?
Sacrifice a chicken.
Yeah, exactly. Like no chickens here.
And they tried rum. They tried everything. So they brought in chicken and
bucket
said,
of KFC. That's it.
Some Bardol and some KFC. time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on Pittsburgh. They got to get rolling here. They're in Jersey tonight. I'm on Pittsburgh. I'm on Buffalo at home against Tampa because they were at the Hall of Fame last night. They're paying $250. And Nashville back-to-back, San Jose. In San Jose, I'm going to take the Sharks. Throw down 20, you can score 130. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Leafs-Kings at 10:30 tonight. Avoid your MyPillow until after the game.
We are going to stay up, we're going to watch it, and we're going to break it all down.
At 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.